Blog Talk Radio.
And a pleasant good evening to you once again. You're in tune to the Bible Coach, and I'm your host, Danny Washington. I want to thank you again for joining. Had some technical difficulties at the beginning, and so it delayed me from coming on. But I want you to know that it is the grace of God that gives us opportunity from the week to come right here live on Blog Talk Radio to share the Word of God with you. And, of course, we just want to stay encouraged and encourage all of those who are listening to continue to seek God and, most of all, study the Word of God so that you may be informed about what God is about to do, what He's doing, what He has done. This helps us to continue to grow in the knowledge and wisdom of God. So I pray that your spirit man and your physical man is both fed, because as you feed the spiritual man and you grow spiritually, you also must eat the physical food and also be healthy as you eat that food as well. So if you don't get the spiritual food you need, you'll find yourself being spiritually sick. God wants all of us to study to show ourselves approved unto Him, so that we might rightly divide the word of truth. So I want you to stay encouraged as you continue to read and study the Word of God for yourselves, and to know that you can always come here on the Blog Talk Radio program and go into the archives. We have so many messages that we've shared over the last 5 years here that you can draw from and pull from, and share it with some of your friends, your neighbors, your relatives. Just give them an opportunity to also log on and find out more about the Word of God. We put this in a teaching format so that it'll be easy for you to grasp the knowledge and the wisdom, and also to extract from the lesson the various different scriptures that we use. And sometimes I intentionally use a lot of scriptures so that you may get an opportunity to experience going through the Bible and seeing what the Bible says in regards to a particular subject. Tonight we're talking on the subject, When Mad People Meet God. When Mad People Meet God. That's our subject for tonight, and we're going to get into that subject. And before we do, as always, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to come together to share in the Word of God, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to us, to teach us, to give us the living Word, that we may have a living experience with you. Let your Spirit flow in and out of us. Help us to receive what you have for us tonight, and let us use it on a day-to-day basis as we go throughout the rest of this week. Empower us so that we might stand before you, that we might experience the presence of the living God, that we may hold fast the profession of our faith and cling to you until we see you face to face. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we ask it all. Amen. Amen. So our subject tonight is When Mad People Meet God. Now, I want you to understand that in the Word of God, there are examples of madness. And madness is sort of a condition. It's a condition of a mental state of mind. It's an act that sometimes is perpetrated against another. Madness can come from within an individual. Madness can come from outside of an individual. And so we have to look at how the Bible proclaims and declares this condition of madness. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, we find an example of this condition that we call madness. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 33 and also 34, the Lord has enumerated in the beginning of this chapter, all of the blessings that he would pour out upon the children of Israel. And then he begins to enumerate all of the consequences and the curses that will come as a result of their disobedience. And so in verse 33, it says, "The fruit of the land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thy eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head." So the Lord tells the children of Israel, because of your disobedience toward me, because you decided not to follow my plan and you wanted to do your own thing and you went after other idols and all of those types of things, he says that the great land that I've given you, that promised land that's flowing with milk and honey, all of those things that you have experienced in the land, the land being able to produce well of what you need and more abundantly what you could even desire, it's all in the land. And oftentimes, we can corrupt our land. We can corrupt the territory that God has given us to dwell in. We can be a blessing to the people that surround us, or we can be a curse to the people around us. It's all dependent upon our relationship that we have with God. And so God looks at each and every one of us as individuals. And that's why he says to us, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, and he says he's going to hear from heaven and he's going to heal, he's going to forgive your sins and he's going to heal your land. And so here God says that I'm going to allow the people that I've driven out of the land and given it to you, I'm allow those folks to come back. And as soon as you began your land begins to bear fruit, I'm going to allow them to come and eat it up because of your disobedience. There are some things that are eating up your blessings, that are eating up your opportunities because of disobedience, because you will not follow the will and the plan of God. God says, I have to allow some things to be eaten up in your territory, eaten up in your land. You're going to lose some things as a result of being disobedient toward me. And so God allows some losses to accumulate upon us so that he might prick us in our heart, that he might purpose to draw us out of the thing that we have so cause ourselves to go deep into. God wants to bring us out of that particular thing. And so he says that you're going to be mad, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thy eyes, which thou shalt see. All of what you're going to witness with your eyes, you're going to look at those things and you're going to be mad because of the curses that are going to come against you. Your visions are going to be filled with the curses, and the hand of God is going to be against you. So God says to us that if you want to experience the blessings that I have for you, up in the chapter he says that if you would hearken to my voice, if you would pay attention to me, if you would listen to me, if you would follow my instructions and keep my commandments and my judgments, then he also tells us that we are going to be above only. And so here we find that the condition of disobedience can bring about madness. It can bring about anger in our hearts. And over in the book of 1 Samuel, the 21st chapter, we find another example of madness. And on this occasion, David was was fearing the hand of Saul. He was running from Saul, and so as he ran from Saul, he came to the king Achish, the king of Gath. And in verse 10, we pick up the story, and it says, "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? So even the king recognized who David was. I want you to understand that every act that you commit in the presence of God, every victory that you won, there is going to be some witnesses that God is going to leave in the land, in your territory, in the place where you are operating in. God allows you to flourish in the place that you are in when you are obedient to him. And even when there are people who are perpetrating madness or anger or frustration against you, God still is going to preserve the place that he's going to cause you. The enemy will try to drive you out of the place and the position that God wants you to be in. And it could be that he will do it on a temporary basis, because sometimes God allows the enemy to put us on the run just for a temporary moment so that we might learn how to trust in him. When you begin to trust him, you'll understand that God will present to you the power of his hand. He will deliver you out of all of your troubles. He will deliver you out of the hand of your enemies, because you are being steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the word of God. God wants you to continue in spite of the trouble and that is perpetrated against you. God said that, look, I want you to still maintain your integrity with me. And so in verse 12 it says, "And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard." So David began to play mad. He played like he had lost his mind. He played like he was mentally disturbed, because he thought that if he would stand before the king in his right mind, that the king would probably do something against him. And so verse 14 says, "Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" And so David was dismissed from the presence of the king because he didn't want a madman in his presence. I want you to understand that you cannot stand before the king. Even on earth, there are certain things that you are not allowed to do. When a queen or a person who was going to come before the king, they would shave themselves, they would dress themselves, they would get themselves up. Even during the time of Esther, they took 6 months in preparation to get themselves cleaned up and perfumed, and they would soak in oils and all sorts of things before they were able to come into the presence of the king. Now, that's an earthly king, and so how much more if we come in the presence of the King of Kings, that God wants us, that we may be prepared to stand in his presence. So we must confess our sins, forsake our sins, because the longer we bottle in our sins, we are experiencing some serious madness. God wants us to come out of our madness, come out of our sins, come out of our foolishness, come out of our playing as if though we are mad. He wants us to come out of those things. In the book of Psalms, chapter 102, Psalms 102, and looking at verse number 8, Psalms 102 and verse number 8, David is speaking, and he says to you and I, "My enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me." There are some people who have taken an oath among themselves that I don't care, I don't even like her, I don't like him, and so we are going to form a pact that no matter what he does or what she does, we're going to be against it. We're going to act like we are mad against that individual or that person has done something to me. And it's interesting that you don't have to do anything to somebody in order for them to be mad. There are some people who just don't simply like you for whatever reason. You rub them the wrong way because you maybe look good, whatever the is. There are some people who will come against you and they will be mad against you just because they have formed an oath, a pact against you. There are people who are on your job that cannot stand you because there is so much favor on your life. There is God that is operating in you, and the devil cannot stand you, and he will do whatever he can do to discourage you or make you to be afraid. But David says, "My enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me." But David understood how to go before the Lord. He understood the value of weeping before God. He understood the value of God and allowing God to fight his battles for him. And so he experienced some great strength as a result of clinging to God. If you're going to see the power of God operating in your life, you're going to have to get into the presence of God and stay in the presence of God. Over in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we're talking again about this condition of madness. Madness is a condition. It's a condition of the heart. It's a condition of that's perpetrated against our minds, and the enemy comes against us. And so in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and starting at verse 1, he says, "I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life." So here, Solomon was a man who sought after understanding what was foolish, what was wise, and he did it through experience. It was not enough for him just to say this thing is wise or this thing is foolish. Solomon was one who tested out the theory. He wanted to know for himself in his heart. He says, "I gave myself to wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom." So his heart is trying to see what's the wisdom behind this drinking and what is the wisdom experience. And so he gave himself to this, and he said laughter. He said, "I said of laughter, it is mad." You ever seen some people that are laughing and you don't really know what they're laughing about? They're giggling because they're drunk and everything seems funny to them, and they are laughing out loud, and it appears that their laughter is just simply madness. It's just simply madness. There are some things that are so intoxicating in life that we can bob ourselves with, that it chokes out the Spirit of God. It causes us to linger in places that we shouldn't be. It causes our minds to become benumbed and desensitized to the enemy. And so when we drink or we put things in our bodies that is out of connection with God, it causes us to have a lose sense of the presence of God. And we will find ourselves in an uncontrollable situation. Our emotions and our physicalities about ourselves, we're not able to control ourselves. There are people who sometimes are so drunken that they will urinate on themselves, and some have even decimated on themselves because of the drinking. And so here Solomon says this laughter is madness. It's a mad type of laughter that goes on. And then he goes on in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 7. He says something very powerful. He says, "Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart." There are those who will do anything for a gift. They will go and test the limits of their integrity for running or chasing after something that they deem is valuable. There are people who will trade their salvation or their soul for temporary gains. And so he says, surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. You cannot afford to allow anything to creep in your life that will destroy your relationship with God. You cannot allow anything to come into the crevices of your mind and begin to impress upon you or cause oppression upon you, because it can even make a wise man mad. You can, in your wisdom, do foolish things, so much so that it will cause the things that you were wise upon to appear foolish. There are some people who have started out with God. They operated in the truth. They operated in the word of God. And somewhere along the line, they got sidetracked or distracted from the will and the purpose of God, and they began to do some things that were foolish and unwise, so much so that they looked at the word of God as being the oppressor. It was the thing that was against me. And so many people will become frustrated with God because they're not allowed to do some of the things that they hoped that they would have an opportunity to do. But God says sometimes, you've got to wait. I've got some things for you that you're not going to be able to do those things that you're doing now because I've put you on hold. Over in the book of Hosea chapter 9, and looking at verse 7, it says, "The days of visitation are come, the days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it, the prophet is a fool, the spiritual man is mad, for the multitude of thy iniquity and the great and the great hatred." So here it says, "The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler, and all his ways and hatred is in the house of his God." So the prophet had turned his heart from God. And when the prophet turns his heart from God and begins to prophesy some things that are offbeat or unclear or out of the way and out of the will and the plan of God, and doing it in the house of God, you were supposed to be a watchman, but you turned to become a snare to people. People began to listen to you, and you were nothing more than a prophet that have began to lead people astray. And so God says that I've got a day of visitation. that I'm coming to recompense those things. I'm going to give an account for those things that you are doing. And so it's time, body of Christ, that if you're doing anything outside of the purpose of God, you better get it right, because God is a God who, yes, he is gracious and he's merciful, but he is also a God of justice, and just judgment will come in and it will speak to you and talk to you and cause you to come to a place where you may not have wanted to be. In Isaiah chapter 47, Isaiah the 47th chapter, and Isaiah the 44th chapter, and looking at verse number 24-26, it says, "Thus said the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backwards, and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that said to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof." So here God says that I want you to know that I will confirm my word to my servants, and I'm going to perform all the counsel of my messengers. God has some messengers, and he has some servants that he's going to confirm their word that they have spoken, especially against those who have began to operate in madness, who have decided that they're going to come against God and to come against the people of God. And you've heard over in ISIS, with the ISIS people, they are beheading people that are Christians and things of that nature. But I want you to know that there is going to come a time of visitation, of recompense, that God will deal with those who spill innocent blood. I want you to know that God will cause that particular land that is filled with violence and blood, it will come to suffering, it will come to great judgment, because God does not want not one person's blood to be spilled upon the ground as an act against an innocent individual. That's why he says to the king, "Thy brother's blood, it crieth from the ground. His blood is crying out, and it has come up into my ears, and I hear the sound of the voice of his blood speaking to me." Every time one has spilled the blood of someone innocent, I want you to know that it came up before the presence of God, and God heard the thing in his ears. He could hear the cry of the blood from the ground speaking to him, and God will linger again with us for a time. Jeremiah, the 25th chapter, begins to go in depth a little bit to how God deals with things. In Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 15, it says, "For thus said the Lord God of Israel unto me, Take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad, because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup at the Lord's hand, and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me." And so I want you to know that metaphorically and prophetically, Jeremiah began to drink against these nations, and God would pour out his wrath upon them. When you fill up the cup of God's indignation, God will respond to you very soon. God allows the cup of mercy to linger before you. Mercy will linger upon the hinges of the door, and one day when it all is said and done, the doors of mercy will shut upon its hinges and justice will take place. When Noah was in the ark, God is the one who shut the door on the ark. Noah couldn't shut the door. God shut the door, and no man could open it. And once he was inside, all of those who were on the outside, judgment had began for them. Amen. The worst thing to experience is to know that salvation is so near, yet is so far away because of disobedience, because we did not do it when mercy was lingering before us, and now justice has taken place. And out of fear, sometimes we run to try to get into salvation, but it is too late. Don't let the clock on the wall say that's about all for you, and judgment falls upon you. God is pleading with us right now while the blood is still running warm in our veins. God wants us to make a decision for him before it's everlasting too late. Jeremiah chapter 50, Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 38, it says, a drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up, for it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. There are some people who have gone so far and so far in astray from God that they have made themselves idols, and they're mad toward their idols. They don't want anybody to come and talk against their idols, talk against the things that they have gone astray on. You ever seen somebody that used to be a part of the body of Christ, and then they've gotten so far away from God, and when you try to coerce them or speak to them to come back into the fold of God, they get mad at you. They get very mad at you. And then Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 7 says, Babylon had been a golden cup in the Lord's hand and made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. There are some certain influences that's operating in the world that if you attach yourself to that influence or that condition, it would render you to be a mad individual. You will become a mad, mad individual if you operate in that particular vein of disobedience. Over in the book of John, chapter 9, and I want you to understand this very good, that, again, when mad people meet God, there are some different types of things that occur. There is this attitude of discounting the truth about what is said. When mad people come against you, it's because oftentimes it's the God that's in you that makes them mad. Darkness does not like light, and darkness cannot comprehend light. It tries to penetrate itself into the light, but the light exposes all that the darkness is about. And so the more you come into the presence of God, the more revelation knowledge you're going to receive of the darkness that is before you, and you're going to experience God on another level when you press into God. It will give you a clear mind. It will give you a mind that's not filled with the madness of this world. So, in John chapter 9, Jesus had healed a blind man. And it was such a profound healing that it affected so many people that was around, and they could not deny the testimony of this individual. He even spoke up for himself and stood up before the Pharisees and the Sadducees and told them that whereas I was blind, now I see. And so Christ goes into this thing and tells them a little parable to help them to understand. In verse 34 of John chapter 9, 33, he says, "If this man were not of God, he could do nothing," is what the testimony of this young man who was born blind, but now he's able to see. He's answering the Pharisees, and he says, "And they answered and said unto him, Thou was altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" They cast him out. So oftentimes, people, when you have met God, when you have experienced God, when you have had an encounter with God, everybody's not happy for you. You would think that your buddies that you used to drink with would be happy for you to come out of that condition of madness, and now you are experiencing a sound mind, a sober mind. The enemy is not happy with that. And so here, as long as this man who was born blind was begging or was in a place where he was in need, the Pharisees could always snarl up their nose and treat them as if though they were nobody. But now that the scales of blindness has been removed from their eyes and he now is able to see the will and the purpose of God for his life, here comes the enemy wanting to keep that individual in that same condition of blindness. What does this have to do with madness? Well, let's go a little further. "And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto them, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." When the knowledge of the truth comes into our lives and we linger on to hold fast to the sin or the ignorance that we were found in, if we continue in that vein, then we are living as mad people before a living God. So after Jesus says this, he goes on to talk about the Good Shepherd. And he tells them about the Good Shepherd. And then he tells them about that he is the door in verse 7. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that are ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures. It is only by coming through the Lord that you will lose your madness, that you will lose your insaneness, that you will lose all of the foolishness of this world and the things that this world has to offer. You will put it down at the feet of Jesus and take hold of him." So here, as we go further down in this verse, Jesus in verse 19, after Jesus says in verse 18, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Jesus is telling them, hey, look, my life, in verse 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again." Jesus is telling them, look, this person that you are looking at, I'm in the hand and the will of my Father. And there was such a division and a dispute among themselves as to how they're going to deal with Jesus. there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, he had a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? These are the lingering questions when truth and error meets together. Sometimes the truth is so obvious and so plain that even for a mad person, even for a foolish person, it is so clear to them that they cannot deny it or dispute it. They says, others said, these are not the words of him that had a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Brothers and sisters, this is where we to the place where we need God. If you are mad and you have gone in a level of your life, you are so far astray from God that God is trying to pull you back in. And you're not able to come in because you are experiencing a certain kind of lostness. There are three types of lost. There is the lostness where you don't know that you're lost. And there is the second lostness, is that you know you're lost, but you don't know how to get back home. And there's that kind of lostness that you know that you're lost, and you recognize that you're lost, but you know how to come home. And those were the three parables that Jesus shared with us. He says that there was the lost corn and the lost sheep, and then there was the lost son. And those are different types of lostness. And God is trying to recover us from our lostness. And so in order to do that, we must understand first the condition of our madness. Where are we in our madness? Will we continue to go forward in our madness? Peter had been locked up in jail, and the church had prayed for him to come out. And then in verse 15, Peter had gotten out of prison and began to knock on the door where they were praying, and there was this young lady that came and ran to the door, and he came back and reported to them that Peter was at the door. And verse 15 says, and they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Sometimes truth goes beyond our belief. Even when we have prayed for the thing that God is about to cause to manifest before your eyes, oftentimes we are so astonished by the answer and by the steadfastness of God that sometimes truth is beyond our belief. The truth is so far beyond that our belief has to catch up with the truth. We've got to watch our belief, because sometimes our belief fails us in the area of faith, because we will not trust God at his word. We call upon the Lord, and we called him, the church called upon the Lord, and they prayed for the release of Peter. And when God did it, and the affirmation and the confirmation was about to take place through this young girl, they could not hardly believe what she was saying until they saw it for themselves. They were as blind people needing to see. And so the truth sometimes will come, and it will cause people to be mad because they cannot penetrate beyond their belief. And so finally we come to Acts chapter 26, and we want to note verse 11, Paul was on his way to Damascus, and there he was going to destroy the church. And verse 11 of Acts chapter 26 says that, to verse 10, it says, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Paul was a madman. But all I want you to know, when a mad person, a mad people meet God, this is the encounter. In verse 14, it says, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open up their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is the call of Paul. This is the turning point from his madness. He was exceedingly mad against the body of Christ, against the saints. So much so, he would put them in jail. He would put them in prison, and he would give his voice in consent to their death. He would cause a death penalty to be executed upon them. But now the faith that he was destroying, but now the faith that he was against, he is now embracing, and God is the one who will turn his life around. And I don't care if you've been mad, if you've been troubled in their past, or if you've gone through some things in your heart, and your heart has been so far from God. God says that, look, today is the day that I arrest you in the name of Jesus, and I clear you up from all of your madness, because I'm going to turn it around for you, and I'm going to cause you to walk uprightly before me, and I'm going to give you an assignment, and this assignment is going to be for you to accomplish and to finish the work that I have called you out of darkness to do, so that you might deliver this light to others who are sitting in darkness. This is the purpose of this message for tonight, is when mad people meet God, changes take place in their life. Hearts are crushed under the sight of the power and the anointing of God. What you sought to do as for evil, God will turn it around for your good and the good of others when we come in consent to the will and purpose of God. Even though we were mad and living a mad life, bring us to the place where we are operating in the position that he desires for us to be in. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the turnaround. We thank you that oftentimes, once in a lifetime, we were mad against people, against you, and against all of your purpose and plan for our life. But we thanks be to God for you who turned it around for us and put us back on the right path, so that we might know and understand that you are drawing us out of darkness to bring us into this marvelous light, that we might be ministers of your word, that we might be witnesses unto your salvation for others. This is our prayer, Lord, and we pray that you would help us to stand in our position and minister the word as it is in Christ Jesus. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Have a great night. Thank you for tuning in.